get goosebumps when I look at this congregation. God is good. Amen. They're a blessing. You're all a blessing. And God is a blessing. We're His children. Amen. Let's give Him praise. Hallelujah. We bless You, Lord. Hallelujah. I don't even know where to start, I must tell you, church. But God is busy moving in this house, moving in our lives. The message I've got to share this morning is very much in line with the prophetic word that went out. And you'll see it as I speak it. It's different, but it's the same. But before I do that, I was having the privilege of having a quiet time this morning, which is kind of tough on a Sunday morning sometimes. And so I sat and I started to sing this song, and the Lord put it on my heart to share it with you. So I just somehow don't think I can keep up with our worship team anymore. They've been a blessing this morning as well. Did you listen to them? Amen. And we're not worshiping them, but we're worshiping the God whose presence they take us into. So before I start the message this morning, I'm going to sing you a song. If my music doesn't fall off. Very old song. You probably know it. You can sing with me. It's about being hungry. If I switch it on somehow or another. There's a plug there that just jumps out. You know, the pastor who opened this window really caused problems. I don't know what I'm going to do with this stuff. It's going to blow off again. But it's all right. Then my wife will come and stand and hold it here for me. Still not coming through, eh? Like the woman at the well, I was seeking for things that could not satisfy. And then I heard my Savior speaking, drink from the well that never shall run dry. Fill my cup, Lord. You can sing it with me. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench the thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, I lift it up. Come and make me whole. There are millions in this world who are craving the pleasure earthly things afford. But none can match the wondrous treasure that I find in Jesus Christ my Lord. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, I lift it up. Come and make me whole. So my brother, if the things this world gives you leaves a hunger that will not pass away, then let my blessed Lord come and save you. If you kneel to Him and humbly pray, sing it with me. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench the thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, I lift it up, Lord, come and make me whole. Fill my cup, I lift it up, Lord, make me whole. Let's give the Lord praise, church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isn't that your hunger and your thirst this morning? Fill my cup. Make me whole, Lord. Make me whole. We all need it, church. Doesn't matter if you're the pastor. You still need it. I need it. We need it. The church needs it. Amen. That's right. I want you to get involved with the message this morning. So this morning's message is, come dine with me. There's a TV show called Come Dine With Me. And then they cook and they diss each other and they speak behind each other's back. But that's not what we're going to do this morning. We're going to answer the call to Jesus to come and dine with Him. He wants to have fellowship with you and I. You heard it all morning already. He's still busy. He's saying, I want to eat with you. I want to come and fellowship you. And we need to respond, say, fill my cup. Fill it up. Feed me till I want no more. That's what you should be saying. And that's what this whole weekend's about, being hungry for Him, seeking Him, desiring Him, wanting more and more of the Lord. Do you know that our God didn't just create us to serve Him as robots? He created us as living beings. He didn't create us so we had no choice. He created us with a will and a freedom of choice. He wants to have fellowship with us. He created us to have fellowship with Him. But He left it in our hands to choose if we want to. He left it in your hands and in my hands to say, yes, Lord, I want to have fellowship with you. We heard about it this morning. There's no time left for messing around. But He's still giving us a choice. All He said, I'm telling you this because I love you. See, don't mess around. But He's not saying, you better or else. He's saying, it's your choice. But He says, when the time comes, when the volcano explodes, when the wind blows and people's houses are blown down and the roofs are blown off their houses and the hail does damage, don't say, where's God? Because He is there with you. He wants to be there with you. So today I want to focus on our free will choice. Jesus is saying, come and dine with me. The scripture is this, let's have a meal together, Revelation 3:20. We should be able to quote it. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. What's the more precious part there? The privilege of being able to have a meal with our Lord? Do you know that that scripture wasn't written to the lost? It wasn't written for evangelism purposes. We've used it that way for years and years and years. See, I'm standing at the door knocking. Tracts have been printed. Picture like that on it. I'm standing at the door to your heart. I want to come in. But it was written to the church. It was written to the church. It was written to you and I, people that have already accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Did you know that? That's the context. Isn't that a tragedy? Why should Jesus have to knock at the door of the children, His children, that have accepted Him as Lord and Savior? Why should He be knocking at the door? Why is He not already in the house? Why is He not already living with us? It's a tragedy. But He says, I'm here. I'm at the door. I'm knocking. I think it's feeding back on the monitors. I'm here at the door and knocking. I want to come in. I'm still here, church. Can you hear it? Can you hear it? He's knocking this morning. Just think of this. It's a wonderful picture of His desire to have fellowship with you and I. Amen? He wants to come and have a meal with us. He wants to have fellowship with you and I. What happens when we go and visit? When you go and visit somebody, you're invited for a meal or something. What do? In today's security society, you go and park at the gate and you think, how on earth am I going to get into this fortress? Eh? And then, if they still got a bell, it's amazing how many houses no longer have doorbells. You go and push the bell or ring the intercom. But otherwise, you'll hoot or you'll pick up your cell phone and your phone. Amen? That's what it's like. That's Jesus. He's saying, I've come to the security fortress that is the door of your house, and I'm here, and I want to come in. I want to come in. Can you hear the cell phone ringing? In the spirit, of course, because he ain't going to pick up his cell phone. He's saying, I want to come in, and I want to come and have a meal with you. And then the people allow you in, and invariably, they'll offer you tea and cake, lekker. It's nice being the pastor. When I go and visit, there's always tea and cake. Something I had to learn when I first came into ministry. I'm going to watch this. Why are you laughing, Patsy? I think she's saying I'm fat. Anyway, I'm just teasing you. Or we'll have coffee and biscuits, coffee and cookies. Or we'll, if we're true South Africans, we'll go and fellowship around the braai and we'll have some lekker braai place with boerewors and steak and ribs and pop and sauce and all of those lekker things. Amen? Now, we may be imperfect when we go and visit, right? In fact, we might even rub each other up the wrong way and go home and then we skin it a little. You know, did you hear? Did you see? Or else we say, oh man, that was a lekker meal. And didn't you just enjoy being with your friends? Church, I want to encourage you. We need to fellowship together as believers. Amen? We need to. I've been trying to encourage it for a while. It's not happening so often. But I think we need to fellowship together. There's nothing like it. It's great. But when you visit, what's the most important thing that comes out of it? It's fellowship. It's an enjoyment of fellowship. When Jesus comes and knocks at your door, what he wants to do is have fellowship with you. He wants to come and eat with you. We're talking about hunger for God. We need to be hungry to have a meal with Jesus. We need to be hungry to have fellowship with him. You know what happens? If, let's say, you invite me to your house, or I invite you to my home, and we have a lovely meal together. What happens? When I joked just now. I said, yeah, sometimes we've got bad things to say because we're imperfect and we're skinning them. But invariably, if it's been a good visit, you go away and you're closer. Isn't that the case? Don't you feel a better bond with that person? Don't you think that's going to happen when we come and have a meal with Jesus, or when we allow him into our house to come and eat with us? So he's saying, come church, I'm inviting you. I'm not inviting you to come to my house. That time is still coming. We're going to have a feast, the marriage supper. But he says, while you're on this earth, I'm knocking at your door. I want to come and have a meal with you. Remember Zacchaeus in the tree? He got up in the tree so he could see Jesus. He didn't want Jesus to pass him by. And Jesus said, come down, Zacchaeus. I want to come and have a meal with you. And they had a meal together. And the religious people that Joshua spoke about yesterday morning, they mocked and they said, oh, look, who's this man? He has a meal with sinners and prostitutes. They mocked him. Jesus wants to come and have fellowship with you. But do you want to have fellowship with him? Do you want to have fellowship with him? So the first part of this message this morning is this, the sadness of Jesus knocking at the door. We should have said this, Psalm 23 verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. If we just understood that, that door would be wide open all the time. You prepare a feast for me in the presence, you come into my house and you seat me at your table. Does that make sense? Because everything is his. Didn't Conrad say that this morning? And you feed me and you give me a feast in the presence of my enemies. Who's our enemy? The devil. He wants to rob you of fellowship. He wants to bring the disaster that we heard about this morning. He wants you to face it and he wants it to break you. Because he came to rob, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came to give life and then in abundance. Amen. He invites us to enjoy the abundant life with him. It's a life of blessing. It's a life of favor. It's a life of victory. It's a life regardless of circumstances. I spoke on Friday night and I told you about the home that I visited on Tuesday with that tornado, and it took the roof off and it damaged part of the house. They had to pack up and move. On Wednesday morning after the storm on Monday evening, they were already packing. Everything was in boxes. There was tremendous damage. And I walked in and the lady walked up to me smiling and greeted me. How do you do that? Only way you do that is if you're fellowshipping with Jesus. If you're hungry for Him. If you're eating at His table. That's how you do it. When Jesus comes in, He doesn't want to come in and go out and have to come back to the door. He wants it to be a time of continual feasting. Continual feast. Fill my cup. Fill me up. Feed me till I want no more. No more hunger. But we must remain hungry. I spoke about it on Friday night. Why is it that when people come and knock on the door to our house or phone us, okay, we're opening now, push the button, open goes the gates. Close quickly. Keep the baddies out. Jesus knocks and we leave Him outside. He knocks. He's saying to you this morning, I've been doing this for years. Yes, you're my child. Yes, you come to church. But I'm wanting to come and have intimate fellowship. I want to come and eat with you. I want to dine with you. And I want you to allow you to dine with me. Why is it that He's slaving to knock? We need to be continually hungry. Have you ever gone to somebody's home in our security society? Maybe even with an appointment. And you sit outside. And there's no bell, so you hoot. And you pick up the cell phone, you try and phone, but nobody's answering it. And you call. Eventually you go home. You give up. How does it feel? Have you ever experienced that? We experienced it recently. I can tell you, it doesn't feel nice. There's a sense of rejection. There's a sense of pain because you wanted that fellowship. You were looking forward to spending time with the people. And now you went home. You took of your time to go to their door. You look forward to being with them. Just think about Jesus. When He knocks, when He rings on the cell phone, Jeremiah 33:3, and you don't answer. And He has to turn away, say, oh, I'll have to try again tomorrow. I died for Him. I'm willing to dine with Him, but He's not interested. He's not hungry. Can you imagine that? Jesus says, I don't want to have to knock and turn away. I want to come in. I want to have fellowship with you. The challenge is, do you want to have fellowship with Him? Because you have got the choice. Remember I said earlier on, He doesn't make us robots. You've got the choice to push that button and open the gate and allow Him in. It's your choice. Open the gates of praise. Allow Him in. The King wants to come and dine with you. This is coming and going. The next thing I want to say with you, He doesn't only want to dine with you, but He wants to have a continual fellowship with you, which implies a continual hunger on our side. Are you willing to be continuously hungry? I spoke on Friday night about our lives. It's a bit of a troughs and valleys, troughs and valleys. But if we can develop a continual hunger for God, it will transform our lives in a way that we'll never understand. Think of something you really love to eat. Now I'm going to enjoy what I'm about to say. What do I really love to eat? My family will tell you. What do I like to eat? What is that? Chocolate. Did you hear that, church? Chocolate. And the nicer the chocolate, the more I like it. Kirsty had her birthday yesterday, and Cheryl bought a cake, and it had 3 Lindt chocolates. Those are the best. Okay. But there's hardly a time in our house when there's not chocolate in my cupboard. I've got to hide it away, otherwise they're going to eat it. Selfish. And once you have one, who's experienced that? Once you've had one block, you can never stop at one block. Have you ever been to a dietitian and you said, but I like chocolate. My problem is chocolate. I love chocolate. I went many years ago. I was working for Nashua and they brought it as a service to us. And they were checking our diet and measuring our body fat. And I put on quite a bit of weight. But I said, I like chocolate. And she said, yeah, well, you can have chocolate one or two blocks a day. That's it. What did she know? You can't stop. Once you start eating it, it's two or three or four or a whole slab. The other day, there were Texas, those big Texas, not the little ones, on special, 80-gram or 60 or 70-gram. And we bought them and I chomped the whole thing. Because once you start, you can't stop. That's the kind of hunger we've got to have for Jesus. When we taste Him, the Word of God says here, it says in Psalm 34, verse 8, taste and see that the Lord is, He's so much better than chocolate. Amen? He's good for your spirit, church. He's good for your eternity. When we taste Him, we should see that He is good, and we should want more and more and more and more of Him. Amen. He's our heavenly manna. He said, I'm the bread that comes from heaven. Shared on Friday nights. He says this too of His law, of His word. Psalm 19 verse 9, the second half through to 10. The laws of the Lord are true. Each one is fair. They are more desirable than gold, even the finest gold. They are sweeter than honey, even honey dripping from the comb. What is nicer than honey dripping out of the honeycomb? For those of you that are like me and have sweet teeth. God says His word is even nicer than that. Are you hungry for a church? Are we enjoying the Lord? Are we enjoying His word? How do you develop a relationship with Jesus? You need to get to know Him. How do you do that? Spend time in His word, church. It's the most accurate way. Then we spend time in prayer. We spend time in fellowship. He says, come dine with me. I'll dine with you. I remember what I sent out the WhatsApp this morning. I don't know if you received it. Psalm 42. Where the psalmist is longing for the time of fellowship. Longing for the joy of being in God's presence with a throng in His house, worshiping Him. That is what God wants for us. He wants to hunger after it. The psalmist, he hungered for it. I think I've got it in here. I think I'm sure I'm jumping. There we go. He wrote this, Psalm 84 verse 10. A single day in your courts is better than 1,000 anywhere else. I would rather be a gatekeeper. In other words, I'd rather be the lowest of the low in God's temple and spend one day there than spend 1,000 days in any other place. That's the kind of hunger God wants us to have for Him. He's saying, I'm knocking at the door to your heart. Will you let me in? Will you let me come eat with you? Will you eat with me? Will you be hungry for me? Will you taste and see that I'm good? Will you eat of my word? It's sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. Come and spend time. 1 second with me is better than a day anywhere else. Amen. That's my paraphrase. Jesus is inviting us this morning. As the deer pants for the water brook, so my soul longs after God. And then He promises us in Psalm 23, a cup that never stops running over. These statements of the psalmist, they tasted fellowship with God. They experienced His goodness. They desired Him more than anything else. They were hungry. It indicated a hunger for God. Let me ask you, church, are you hungry this morning? We've been hearing about it all weekend. I felt so intimidated about this weekend. I really did. Because there was an expression of excitement from the people in the church. And I thought, boy, if I get it wrong this weekend, then they're not going to want to come to the next conference. Or there was an expression of excitement. But I also felt, if I get it wrong, I fail the Lord because He's got a purpose for His people. There's a reason you've been sitting here this weekend. And I praise the Lord for it. I thank the Lord for your hunger. Friday night, we saw more people, I think, than what we've ever seen in a Friday night service. Maybe once or twice. But I mean, since Cyril and I have been leading the church. It was a blessing. And it talks to me of a hunger that is stirring up in your heart and your spirit. I'm here this morning to encourage you to chase that hunger. To want more of it. To chase that relationship with Jesus. Are you willing to, church? Are you willing to? We need to ask ourselves, you know that song says, are we continually hungry for God? More love, more power, more of you in my life. You remember it? More love, more power, more of you in my life. And I will worship you with all of my heart. And I will worship you with all of my mind. And I will worship you, With all of my strength, for you are my God, you are my King. That speaks about a hunger for God. But it's a continual hunger. More, more, more. Lord, we want more and more and more of you. Church, can you say that this morning? Has that been your prayer? Did you cry out this morning while we were worshiping you? Lord, worshiping the Lord. Lord, I want more of you. Do I want more of the sweetness of His Word? Do I want to taste and see how good He is? Do I want to spend time? Do I value time in His presence more than time elsewhere? Think of the priorities you've been making. Let me think of the priorities I've been making. If I test it, I feel I fall short. I feel I fall short. So what do I need to do? I need to hunger for more. I need to press in and ask the Lord for more. Amen? Are you willing to press in and ask the Lord for more? Can I hear a big yes? And then, my final point this morning is that somebody wrote a booklet called The Game with Minutes in It. So this portion of the message is going to be called The Game with Minutes in It. His name is Frank Charles Lobach. I don't know if I'm saying it right. He lived from 1884 to 1970, a good long life. He was a Christian missionary, and he was known as the apostle to the illiterates. In 1915, I worked it out this morning, he was 31 years old, while working, and I want to encourage you young people today, while working among the Muslims, who can imagine a harder place to work, in a remote location in the Philippines, he developed the Each One, Teach One literacy program. Each one, teach one literacy. So in other words, if you teach me, I'll teach somebody else. Do you know that through that program, this 31-year-old developed 60 million people learned to read in their own language? How's that for an achievement? Amen. Now let me tell you about this man. He had a hunger for God. He wrote this in his diary in 1930, the 26th of January. For the past few days I've been experimenting in a more complete surrender than ever before. I'm taking by deliberate act of will enough time from each hour to give God much thought. He was saying, I'm going to focus on God every hour. I want to challenge you, church. Let's make this our homework for this week and for the weeks and the months that lay ahead. The next time we have something like this, and the Lord, unless the Lord shows us different, is going to probably be in January after the Daniel fast. Okay, but let's spend the time between now and January saying, Lord, I want to develop a hunger for you. That means I want to connect with you every hour of my day. Right, but it goes further than that. Yesterday and today, I've made a new adventure, which is not easy to express. I'm feeling God in each movement by an act of will, willing that He should direct these fingers that now strike the typewriter. They didn't obviously in those days have a computer. Willing that He shall pour through my steps as I walk. Willing that He shall direct my words as I speak and my very jaws as I eat. He wanted God to be in every part of his life. It was an adventure for him. And then this book that I spoke to, it was his most widely influential devotional book. You know what the scary thing is? As I read up about it on the internet, you know what they speak about him as? The world we live in? The New Age world? They spoke about him as a Christian mystic. There's no such thing as a Christian mystic. Okay? There's a Christian with a relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. But the New World Order will call it mysticism. Don't accept that junk. He was a man of God with a relationship with Jesus Christ. But in this booklet, he urged Christians to attempt keeping God in mind, not just every hour, but at least 1 second every minute. How's that for a challenge? How hungry are you for God, church? How long has it gone if you're not at church, okay, because right now you're focusing on the Lord because you're hearing His Word, but if you're not here, how long does it take in your busy daily schedule for you to think of God between the last thought and the next thought? I'm challenging you this morning to be hungry for God. I'm challenging you this morning to say, Lord,
I might not manage to get it right to think of you a second every minute, but Lord, one thing I can do, that every waking hour I can make sure, man, we've all got cell phones, we can just put a reminder on our cell phone, remember to think of God. For somebody that, like me, as we get older, there was a joke last night about, we went to a show that Josh and Christy took part in, there was a joke something about as you get older your memory goes, I can't remember it, maybe it wasn't worth remembering. Okay, but I mean, we can use our cell phones. We got no excuses. Can we ask the Lord, help me, Lord, to develop such a relationship with you that every minute, or every hour, I spend a minute thinking of you. Just praise, oh, Lord, I love you. That's all you got to do. That a second in a minute, Lord, I love you. I think there was about a second. If you want to do it quicker, Lord, I love you. He knows, okay? He knows, because he's going to see you. Do you know that just the effort that you will take in saying, Lord, I want to connect you with you once every minute, isn't that going to be a sign of your hunger for God? How do you think he'll read? Do you think that's religion? Religion will never do that. Because religion has got set times and set places and set rules and a set attempt to please God with my own deeds. Relationship says, Lord, I want to know you every moment of the day. Are you hungry to have that kind of relationship? Can we ask the Lord to make us like Frank Lobach? He lived many, many years ago. So this isn't modern preaching, but it applies to you and I today, and particularly in today's busy society, because God has been pushed further. People they don't come to church anymore. I mean, you, yeah, praise the Lord for you. But they'd much rather go shopping. Or go and chase pleasure. Next Sunday morning, this pastor is going to be on his bicycle. So I'm talking to myself as well. Okay? I try and make that the exception rather than the norm. Okay, but when it becomes Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, then I've got to say, what's more important to me? My sport or my relationship with God? And don't come and tell me that the church is the people and the church isn't coming to church, because we are encouraged to spend time in fellowship. So when you deny fellowship, you deny God's word. Can I hear an amen? It brought me to Psalm. The title of this pamphlet, The Game with Minutes, and it is very appropriate when we start to understand that we've each been gifted with days of life from God. Do you know that you've been gifted with days of life from God? Psalm 139 says this. I took it from the English Standard Version because I liked the way the words came. Your eyes, Psalm 139, 16. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book they were written, every one of them, the days formed for me, when as yet there were none of them. I want to focus on that just those few words. The days formed for me were written in your book. If I go into other translations, it says, the days ordained for me. And there's another one that says, the days fashioned, the New King James, the days fashioned for me. Now think about that, church. We've all been given and allotted a number of days, some less, some more. Why? We don't know. We can ask God one day. But in his book have been written unique days, not shared days. We all live at the same time. But God fashioned days for me, and he fashioned days for you. He's got specific days for you and for me. They were written, they were ordained for us as individuals. Can you identify with that? He's given us those days, and remember I started and I said, he's given us a free will. Even though he ordained us those days, he's given us a free will to choose what we will do with those days. Now just think about this. What are you doing with your God-ordained days? What are you doing with the time that he's allotted to you? He said, Keith, these are the days I give you. X days of your life. I give you the choice to spend them hungry for me, seeking relationship with me, seeking my kingdom, using them to leave a legacy that is good, or you can use them to chase pleasure. To run off to the desires of the flesh. To suit yourself. How many of you said to somebody, oh, I'm so busy. I don't have time for that. I can't come to the prayer meeting. I don't have time for that. I'm too busy. What are you doing with the days fashioned for you? I believe one day we'll stand account. I think we'll stand account. Because God's going to say, I gave you a choice. I didn't force you. I showed you my love. I showed you my blessings. I showed you that you can taste and see that I'm good. I showed you that you can trust me. I showed you that I provide for you. I showed you that you could have a deep relationship with me. I had intimate fellowship with you. I let you taste it. But you still chose to take the days that are formed and allotted and ordained for you and use them for something else. How hungry are you for God, church? That is my challenge this morning. What are you doing with those days that were fashioned for you? The title, even though it's very appropriate, the game of hours, and we tend to, or the game with ministry, we do tend to sometimes play games. Remember this morning, we heard, we are not to play games. Now's not the time to play games. No, now's not the time to play church, to play religion. Now's the time to be real. Surely goodness and mercy, Psalm 23 verse 6, shall follow me all the days of my life, the days ordained for me. But then I need to be spending time fellowshipping with the Lord. I believe that is conditional on us walking with the Lord. Surely goodness, surely it's guaranteed. Surely, God says surely it's surely. Amen. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me. The storms may come, the wind may blow. The hurricanes might rage. The fires may burn. The meteors might fall. Maybe I'm being prophetic. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me, regardless, all the days of my life. So it may take a long time for us to train ourselves to think of God at least once every minute. But we can do it every hour. And we can say, Lord, I'm going to take these days ordained for me and formed for me. I'm going to spend them hungry for you. What choice will we make this morning, church? What will we do with our God-gifted days? Will we waste them with endless pursuit of our own plans and purposes and pleasures? Or are we going to choose to spend them being hungry for God and feasting from the table set for us? Now, I just want to bring a bit of balance here, church. It doesn't mean that you've got to be holier than thou. It doesn't mean that you've got to spend all your time. I mean, then we can just go and form a monastery and go and live there, okay? What it means in our daily walk with the Lord, He wants us to walk in that relationship. So yes, if I'm enjoying riding my bicycle, I use my example, or flying my model airplanes, or singing, or eating, or I don't know, playing golf. Somebody recently is helping blind bowlers. Lilac. I'm just joking, eh? But in that time, am I still connecting with God? Because you can. Am I still taking time to spend in fellowship like this? Am I taking time to pray with the believers? Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in their midst. See, we've got to bring balance. If all you want to do is be a church, Jesus went out into the world. He fellowshiped with the prostitutes and the tax collectors. He changed their lives forever. What did we say on Friday night? Jesus said, my bread is to do the will of the Father. That is this godly standard. What do we eat? Doing the will of the Father. Jesus was always involved with people. When we are eating and fellowshipping with God, our time will be spent sharing time with Jesus, with others, and bringing Jesus into their lives. So I conclude now. Jesus doesn't only want us to be hungry for Him. He's knocking on the door of our heart and wanting to come and dine with us, and He wants us to dine with Him. He wants us to invite Him in on a continual basis. Keep the door open. Don't shut the door. Say, bye-bye, see you next week. That's what a lot of us do. I'll shake your hand, you'll go out here, and you'll come in next week. Knock on the door. Come, Jesus, we'll spend an hour or two together. Bye-bye. And then the next week, it's not enough church. You'll be found without oil. You'll be found not ready. We need to develop a continual hunger for Him. And even pray constantly. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16 to 18 says this. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. How do I pray without ceasing? That's when I'm connecting with the Lord every hour or every minute. Praying without ceasing. And it doesn't have to be a fancy prayer. You can just say, I love you, Jesus. Lord, thank you for your presence. I feel you, yeah, Lord. Simple things. As we develop our hunger and constant fellowship with God, our lives and the lives of those around us will change. Are you hungry for God, church? Are you willing to say, Lord Jesus, come. I just surrender it all. I want to spend my whole life with you. Can I ask, maybe Dave, Josh, won't you just bring the communion? I felt, what an apt way to finish this service about being hungry for God than to have fellowship with him in communion. I want to read to you from Acts. I've left my Bible down, yeah. Let's see what they said in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Are you blessed, church? Has this made sense this morning? Are you going to be like us who had to drive away from that driveway disappointed? I mean, is Jesus going to be like that? Like us? Or is he going to find that you're going to open the door when he comes and knocks? Have you opened the door? Have you opened it this morning? I want to invite you as you come to take communion. I don't know, we can maybe, yeah, maybe if there's too many of us, yeah, we'll just go back to our seats. Do it quite quickly if you can. But spend that time as you come, as you stand and wait with the communion emblems in your hand. Just quietly pray to the Lord and say, Lord, restore the fellowship. Lord, I've kept the door closed. I've been opening it when it pleases and suits me. I open it for you continually, Lord. You're always welcome. Your family. You know, the family can come in the back door. Amen? Lord Jesus, it's open for you. It's safe. But I'd rather that he came in the front door. He needs to come in the door to our heart. Amen? In Acts 2, it says this. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship. Fellowship, church, fellowship, that means this. In the breaking of bread, this table, and in prayers. Prayers, they spend time together praying, church. You must listen to what I'm saying. I'm talking about the prayer meeting. I shouldn't be begging you. It should be a natural desire. No, I won't go out at night. I'm too old. Or I'm too busy. Or it doesn't suit me. Jesus is knocking. Sure, pastor, this bikkie seer die. Listen to what happened. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continually, daily, listen to this, daily, with one accord, unity, in the temple, in other words, in the church, and breaking bread from house to house, fellowship. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. We don't have to be holier than thou, church. This is a simple thing. Let's just serve Jesus wholeheartedly. Praising and having praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Isn't this what we've just spoken about? Having a relationship with the Lord, having a hunger for him, sharing the Lord's table, spending time in his presence, in prayer, in fellowship. They had favor with God. Who'd like some favor with God? Let me see your hands. Come on, we should all put up our hands. And who'd like some favor with people? Come on, who needs favor with people? We all need favor with people. Amen. I want to invite you forward. Let's come. Come take from this.
We thank you, Lord, that you have spoken to our hearts today. We so many times realize that we get involved with things around about us and forget about you. We thank you that you are the author and the finisher of our faith, that our faith may be strong and directly with you, Lord. Give us a hunger and thirst after your righteousness. In this week, as we go around with our business, Father God, that we will spend time with you, that we will know that you are close to us, closer than a brother, And I pray that your hand will be upon us. You guide us and lead us and protect us against the onslaught of the enemy. That in this week we will walk with victory because you said we are overcomers in Christ Jesus. Keep your hand upon us as we travel, Lord, as we depart now one from another and come together at your appointed time. In Jesus' name, amen.